Our president, Herb Fraser, when he started us off, he talked about heroes of the faith, and Jerry read from Hebrews chapter 11, and Herb was talking about some of the people who continue in the footsteps of the great Bible heroes, some of those folks who have been connected to Barclay. So we have one of those heroes today. Where's Jeff? Jeff Carpenter? Come on, man. I'm guessing Jeff doesn't think of himself as a hero, but Jeff is a faithful man of God, and we call this series Keepers of the Vision because these are folks who've graduated from Barclay, who sat in your seat not too long ago, and who continue to follow Jesus and try to set an example for us of what it means to follow hard after the Lord. So Jeff is serving as youth pastor up at Hutchins from Friends Church, graduated from here in 1999. We think Jeff wasn't sure, so it's been a long time. And where's Jenny? Jenny, if you'd stand up, they've got, she's back in the nursery, two beautiful kids. And so just really glad to have Jeff here today. So Jeff, come share with us.
All right. It's good to be with you guys today. Good morning. And that's crazy to be called a hero, but it is good to be with you guys. And it's cool to see how many are here. I've never heard the final count of, I know they're getting close to maybe breaking records of how many were here, but we were walking last night and my wife Jenny was like, I don't ever remember this many cars in the parking lot. So that's a lot of people here. That's awesome. It's exciting. And so, yeah, a lot of you guys probably know better my brother, Brad. He graduated a couple years back and he's a missionary over in Rwanda. And we actually just got him married off a couple days ago on Saturday. And so some of you guys were there, and like Dave said, my wife Jenny, and I guess my son Isaac, he's 2 and a half, he's just a fireball, and so we had to take him to the nursery, I guess. So, but Jenny and Isaac, he's 2 and a half, and then Ashley is 6 months, and I grew up in Wichita, graduated here in 99, and with a youth ministry degree, and we've been working with the youth up in Hutchison for the last 9 years. And just to start out, just probably, how many of you guys are from a town bigger than Wichita? 400,000? A lot of you guys. Okay, so this is probably a pretty big culture shock to you, coming here to Haviland. And for me, when I first came here, I had some friends in the Haviland High School. And it was Paul Bryan and Jason Pickard. And I got with them, and they're like, what do you want to do tonight? It's my first night here in Haviland. I've only lived in Wichita. And I was like, well, what can we do? And they said, well, we can climb the grain elevator or go frog popping. And I was like, well, what's frog popping? And they're like, you'll see. And so the next 2 to 3 hours, we drive around in this car, and they shine the lights on a frog, a big frog in the street, and then Jason hops out of the car, runs, and kicks a snot out of it. So it's unconscious. And then we got the doors open, we can drive real slow, and then pop. And I was like, after a couple hours, I was like, this is going to be a pretty long year. Also, with just the culture here of Haviland, how many of you guys are kind of weirded out the first time some stranger just waved at you? I was like, what in the world? First time I drove in and someone did that, I was like, they must have thought I was someone else, because I don't know who that was. And then you kind of get used to it, and then you can kind of be cool, and you do the one finger thing off the steering wheel, and so you get used to that. And my first year here, I was here, and soccer started in the middle of August, and then all the way through to 1st of November, I hadn't been home, and so I got used to that, and we were shaking, or waving at everybody, we were friends with everybody here, and then go back to Wichita, and I was just immersed in this culture, and so I got off of 54 and got on 235 South, And when I was coming on the merging lane, I just got just a little bit too close to the oncoming traffic. And, you know, no big deal. This car kind of zooms ahead of me and rolls the window down, and they showed me their tall finger. And I was like, that's the middle finger. And I was like, oh, well, I forgot that things are a little different here. We're not all friendly in Wichita. Also, Barclay College used to be called Friends Bible College, and then from that, some people called it Friends Bridal College, and I don't know if that still goes on or whatever, but I just want to give all the girls a heads up. There's probably a target on your back that, at least the way it used to be, they'd have the incoming students and they'd put all the pictures up here. And it was really funny because all the incoming students and then the guys that spring before, they'd see who was coming and they'd be like, all right, that's mine. And they'd kind of claim, okay, this is the one I'm going after. And I'm serious. And it'd be kind of like, dude, I already called her. Okay, try to. And so it's funny, and we laugh at that, but my cousin, he did that to this. He pointed out this girl, said, that's mine. I'm going after her. And 6 months before he even met her, and then she ended up coming here. And they're now, they just have been married for 6 years and just had their second kid. So watch out. It happens. So, well, I was struggling with what to talk about, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, what is it something I'm really good at? What is something that I can actually share with you guys that could be a help? And one word just kept popping back in, and it was humility. I'm really proud of myself with how humble I am, and I've been getting better at it, and I'm probably in the top four most humble people that I know, so I got that going for me, which is nice. But, no, seriously, Dave asked me to come here, and I've heard him say something similar to this, that I'm called to love people, and right now, for this time in my life, young people, my calling is not to preaching or speaking. I hate speaking. I really do. And which is crazy that Dave says that, because he's so good at it. But, in fact, the first two times I preached at Hutch Friends, I'm not even joking, I had to break out the Imodium AD just to make it through, or else it would have been like little sections of, you know, 3 minute sermon and let's take a break, and then 3 minute sermon, if you know what I mean. So made it past that time, but I don't like it. I don't like speaking, but I had an opportunity. I hope God can use these words. Hope it can be encouragement to you today. Now, each of you guys are here at Barclay to be in ministry somehow. You're going to be in ministry somehow, whether as a lay leader or through your business or through counseling or full-time, what we call full-time ministry. But you're all being trained up to be leaders in the church through Bible and through the studies that you're here getting. And ministry, in my experience, has been very exciting, lots of highs and lots of very difficult times too. You're going to get both sides of that, and it can be very rewarding. And I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen this. You guys already know what I'm talking about because you're working with churches or was it Young Life or Young Life? Still do it? Youth for Christ. So you guys have already seen this. There's definitely these high times and these blessings, these benefits, and this rewarding time, but also these great struggles. And, you know, I've seen youth that have come to a growing faith in Christ, even when their families aren't in church, or we've even seen grow in the Lord, and their families actually fall away from the church and walk away, but the youth still continues in that and has a growing faith. But I've also seen youth that we've invested tons of time in, and we spend time with them, and they know that we're the ones that truly love them, and they have a joke of a home life, and we love on them, we spend so much time with them, and we think we're seeing spiritual growth in them, and they're moving forward. And then the sin creeps in, and it's so enticing, and it just grabs them, and they just walk away from everything, walk away from God and the church. And this last instance, just with church discipline, is so difficult. And I actually came out here and talked to Dave just because I was like, man, I don't want to mess this up. This is such a big deal, and I don't want to do something wrong. And so I talked with him, and just going through that I went through with this discipline, and she ended up deciding, no, that God right now is not what you wanted, and so you see the good and the bad times, and so we go through these good and bad times for the Lord, but we're trying to be obedient to His will, and you're going to see both things. And Barclay is a great place for preparation for your life and what may lie ahead, just in life in general and in ministry. So today I do want to talk about focus, your focus, and where it is, and this is something God has worked on me. Through all these years, He's still speaking on into me about, and I don't have it yet. You know, I'm not all there. I know that. But I do want to talk about focus, and where our focus is greatly determines how our life is going to go about. And where your focus is greatly going to affect your time here at Barclay and beyond when you leave. And if each of you have come to Barclay with a desire to grow in the Lord, if that's your desire, I'm coming here and I want to grow in the Lord. That's my focus. Well, I got some good news for you. You are going to grow. It's just a done deal. Okay, if that's truly your focus, you're going to get it. God's going to give you that, and you are going to grow, and He's going to do great things in you. But then others, maybe you're coming in with a different focus. Maybe it's just to have fun or sports or boyfriend, girlfriend, just dink around. You know, there's lots of frogs out on the street, and just go frog popping all night. That'd be awesome. If these things are your primary focus, then that's all you're going to get out of this. And those things in themselves, those are fun, those are good, these things are good, but if that's your number one focus, then that's all you're going to get out of it. So you're going to get out of this experience here at Barclay whatever you put into it, basically. And if you got your Bibles, open up to Psalm 127, verse 1. Okay, Psalm 127, 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house of its builders, labor is in vain." I'm sorry. "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain." So unless God is your focus, unless He is in charge of your life, all that we do is pointless. It's worthless. It's not going to amount to anything unless He's in charge. And raise your hand if you were watching the Olympics these last couple of weeks. I've never got into it near as much as I did this week. And what were some of the sports you guys like to watch? Just shout it out. Basketball, swimming, soccer, gymnastics. Synchronized what? Synchronized diving. Speed walking, yes. As they accelerate around the turns, that's intense. Okay, no trampolining. That badminton's pretty crazy. Yeah, you couldn't even see the badminton. You're just like, I assume it's out there. I don't know. They're just swinging away. But there's a lot of inspirational stories that came from that, and I'm sure a lot of pastors are speaking on. Our pastor spoke. I didn't do too well in English, I guess, but okay, I'm moving on. But he preached on this for the past couple weeks, and so some of you guys remember Usain Bolt for Jamaica, and just crazy fast. He's letting up at the end, just kind of looking to the side, and he just broke the record. But one name I know you guys have probably all heard is Michael Phelps, and it was just amazing what he did. And 8 gold medals, 7 world records, and that's just ridiculous. That's never going to happen again, probably, I would think. And but during training, do you think the coach is like, "All right, Michael, hop in that pool, go ahead and get a warm-up lap, and I want to see a back float, and then we'll do the dead man's float, and then we're going to Applebee's"? You think that's what training was like? No, not at all. And I heard he ate like tens of thousands of calories. It's just crazy. But he burned off every single one. You can see his six-pack, and there's no way he's keeping calories in his body. But I heard he swam up to 300 laps a day to prepare for that. And so what can we learn from this for our own spiritual training? Turn to 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. And this also speaks on our focus. And you guys have all heard this, but 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 25. "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." So God is calling us to be focused. Go into strict training, it says. Is be focused on Him and what He's desiring for us. And just to go along with that Olympic thing, another part that Jenny and I really liked watching a lot was the gymnastics. And you guys remember Nastia Lukin and Sean Johnson. And Sean Johnson, I believe, is a Christian. And but anyway, we love watching them. And I think both of them got gold medals. But both of them, I believe, got multiple silver medals. And they were, when they got their gold, it was like, I mean, just... you know, it's like light shining off their face and just complete joy. But the thing that I really noticed was when they got their silver medal. If any of you guys notice their faces. So I'm thinking, any of us, if we got to go there and got fourth and got like a brass medal, we'd be pumped, right? Fourth in the world. And a brass is, or a bronze is incredible. Silver, second in the world. Only one person beat you, and they barely beat you. Second. And that's incredible. And but you saw these girls' faces when they got their silver, complete tears of sadness. That's what stuck out to me. That it was failure. Second place was failure. All that mattered was first place. And anything else, they had not met their goals. Silver, I mean, we're like, man, a silver, that's incredible. And they were completely broken and sad. And that's the same way it is with God. He's desiring to be first in our life. And nothing else will do. And we're like, God, I'm giving you second, you know. You're right behind my girlfriend or my boyfriend, or, you know, you're right behind this. And that's pretty good. But God is sad if he's not first. That's what he desires, and nothing else will do. So it takes work and some disciplined decisions with God's help to be where he desires. And I want to tell one more story. And this is a story about my very first girlfriend back in fourth grade. And each day I'd walk in. Her name was Lori Wilson. Pretty little girl. And I'd walk in there each day with my Dukes of Hazzard lunchbox and my Trapper Keeper and my backpack, and I'd walk up to her. I don't even know how we became boyfriend and girlfriend. I really don't. But each day I'd walk up to her. She'd be sitting at her desk, and I'd say, I wouldn't even say her name. That's the kind of connection we had. And I said, do you still like me? And she would look at me and say, yes, I still like you. And now I'd go to my chair and smile and sit down, and that's the only thing I'd say to her the whole day. That was it. We would never talk the rest of the time. Well, after about a month of this, I remember walking up, and there's this guy. His name was Davelin Hirschberger, and it's a weird name. But anyway, he was sitting next to her, and I did my regular thing, and I walked up, and I said, I just did my regular thing. Do you still like me? And she looked at Davelin, and Davelin said, you haven't told him yet? She likes me now. Yeah, that's true. And I hated Davelin with his wee beady eyes and that smug look on his face. But so I just went to my chair and I bawled. I did. I bawled. Yeah, that's true. I did. That's sad. But and I know some of you guys out there are like, and I'm thankful that Jenny and I got married, but a lot of you guys are like, man, I thought Jeff and Lori, it sounded like such a great relationship. And you're like, how could that not work? It just seemed right, and there's so much going for him, but not really. That was a horrible relationship, right? And you guys know where I'm going with this, I think. We never talked. We didn't know each other at all. And it was a horrible relationship, and that's the same way with God, that we have to spend time with him to know him well, okay? And if any relationship, you think you know them well, you have to spend time with him. You have to talk with him the same way. Is prayer and Bible study. That's what it's going to take. And making those disciplined decisions to set that time aside. And this is above and beyond your Old Testament reading. Don't just, I remember when we were here, that was a real temptation. Like, oh, I'm doing my devotionals in 2 Chronicles this week. And there's not a ton of meat there. Maybe a little. I don't know. But get outside. Past your Old Testament reading, you need to set aside time. We need to set aside time to spend time with him, to get to know him. many students, I find this true for most students, find out really how strong your relationship is with Christ when you go away from school for the first time. And a couple questions is like, is your relationship with Christ, is it your relationship or was it your parents? Were you going to church there because your parents forced you to? It was just expected, or is that your relationship? Is that yours? And or did you lean too much on your youth group or your youth pastor, and now they're not there, and it's just, oh man, so tough. When no one's looking in the morning on Sundays, is it important enough for you to get out of bed on Sundays and go to church? You know, is that really a part of you? Or is your relationship with Christ a growing one, excuse me, that can continue away from youth group and away from pastors, away from parents? These questions, you know, you're going to start figuring those out as you're away. And the last scripture, if you'd open up to Psalm 1, 1 through 3. I really like this scripture a lot, especially verse 3. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Now, I used to think it's going to get easier as you get older. You know, get out of college and move on forward. It's easier to set aside time for God, but that's not true at all. And it doesn't get easier. It still takes work, as it'll take work for you guys too. But we need to be like this tree. This tree is right by the river, right by its source, and it's just getting all this nutrients. And as Jesus is our source, you know, just to draw as close to Him as we can. And if we do that, it says we're going to be blessed. We're going to prosper. And so, I guess just to close, just saying, in your time here at Barclay, you're going to get whatever you put into it. Whatever you put into your time here, that's what you're going to get. And if it's your desire to grow in the Lord, you're going to. And if it's something else, maybe check yourself and say, okay, I need to rearrange some things. Setting aside for Him time, letting Him be in control, asking God, praying, God, give me a desire to be focused on You. Give me the discipline I need. And, you know, if you do that, your time here at Barclay is going to be blessed. And He does have a plan for each of you. He brought you here. It's not an accident. And He has great things for you this coming year. So.
Yeah, I just asked Jeff if he'd pray for us. You know what it's like to be a student. So if you are a youth ministry major, would you stand? Just want to give special prayer for these guys, since that was your major, Jeff, but pray for these guys.
Jesus, we just thank You for this day. Thank You for this time we could come together and time of worship. And Lord, pray that Your scripture would go into each one of our hearts, that we would apply this to our life, Lord God, and take it with us. And Lord God, I just pray for each of these students here. And Lord, especially those that are standing, but everyone here, Lord Jesus. Lord, give us the discipline to take time for You. Help our focus be on You. Help us to have balance, Lord, in our life, Lord God, to be able to set these other things aside, understand where priorities need to be. Lord Jesus, I just pray a blessing on all the students here. Lord, draw near to them. As You say in James, Lord, if we draw near to You, You'll draw near to us. And I just pray that each one of us will be able to do that. And in that, Lord, we're going to be blessed. And we're going to have that growing relationship with You, Lord God. Bless each one here. And just go with us this year, Lord God, that it would be a growing and prospering year. We just pray this in Your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Jeff. Lord bless you. And you guys have a great day. Go in peace.